Now,
welcome to episode 11 of the Sports Bible Podcast. I'm your co-host Michael.
You're the co-host Jackson. A lot of stuff going on still. It was still on online, still happening for Brantford. You can't do anything about Laurier, but we'll jump right into it. Start the episode off hot. Big news, I think, in all sports right now is KD's going down 46 weeks with an MCL sprain in his knee. I think that's going to be a big effect on Brooklyn, you know, without KD is their top, you know, scorer in I think one of the top three in the league. And now that Brooklyn, you know, now Kyrie and Harden have really to step up now because without KD, this team, I don't know what this team's going to do, so.
Yeah, as everyone knows, KD is my favorite player. So once I heard the news, it was tough to take. I think the only KD did need rest. He really did need rest. I know it's coming in the worst way possible, but I guess that's kind of the saving grace. If we're gonna, you know, we want to be positive, right? So if we look at that, while he is rehabbing, he will get the rest that he needs. 4 to 6 weeks is pretty, it's pretty good considering it could have been a lot worse. I know there's more severe sprains that people can get. So for 4 to 6 weeks, which is about a month, that's not too bad. He's not missing too much to be concerned. And yeah, it's just going to have to be Harden and Kyrie stepping up. Now, I think it's interesting to look at how Kyrie Irving may play if the Brooklyn Nets are willing to do that fine thing, right? So he can play in home games and away games, but he'll get a fine every time he plays until he's vaccinated. With KD out, do you think they're going to go through with that?
I think they do it either way, with KD, with or without KD. You know, Kyrie's a big, he's the final piece they need in that team in Brooklyn. I think it was like 91,000 a game or something like that, which is honestly nothing in this day and age when it comes to sports. You know, like that's a fine that's easily payable, and you know, and yeah, you might be losing 91,000 a game, but you're still collecting wins, which is pretty much all that matters in sports is wins. So yes, I think they take the fine every time Kyrie plays. Especially now with KD out. I mean, Harden can do it. He's shown before he's done it in Houston by himself, but I think they need Kyrie this time with KD out. So definitely take the fine. Now with him out, what do you think this has on the MVP race this season? Because I know KD's in top three now.
Because I thought, yeah, he was definitely top three, but I thought he was in the lead. But with him out, with how we know the NBA goes with storylines and everything, I think it puts a damper on his chances. Probably top three now will move to what? Curry, Giannis.
I think LeBron's got to be in there now. If the Lakers start winning games, I think LeBron is in there right now because MVP of the records and stuff. But yeah, definitely Giannis, Curry, you know, KD was in there. But, you know, with last year, the whole MVP race, I think Embiid missed a couple of, 2 weeks?
Yeah.
And he didn't win at all. So I think now KD winning, missing 4 to 6 weeks, I think his chance at MVP this season is over.
Yeah.
It sucks.
I know. He's been playing so well. But it's bound to happen. You know, more people will get looked at now, like Joel Embiid again will be looked at this year. There's Jokic. We'll see some more people, you know, in the spotlight over the next 4 to 6 weeks while KD's out. And then more people will be willing to make a case.
Yeah, it's like I saw the injury. I didn't watch the game live, but I saw it after. It was an unfortunate fall, I think, for Bruce. Was it Brown?
Yeah.
Just an unfortunate fall into the knee. You know, it's KD type of players, like prototypes, like him and Giannis, every time they go up for a dunk and they come down, it's always I always have to hold my breath, because their size is, you know, you don't see that size and how they move normal in basketball, you know? And every time they go up for a dunk and they come down, or they come with a block, it's you're always praying they get up with no injury. And it's those type of prototypes that the ones that, like, you know, fragile. But, you know, KD's been through a couple injuries with his career, with torn Achilles and Golden State and all this. But I'm sure he'll bounce back. Bounce back with the torn Achilles, and he had a great season. But I think his, as you said, I think his MVP race is over, unfortunately. But yeah, I think the top three now is, as you said, it allows more for more people to get in there. I think I do agree with your top two with Giannis and Curry. I think they're respectfully in the top three, but I think that third position or whoever gets to the last is up for debate now. Ja or Jokic, Embiid, LeBron, we don't know. I kind of want to jump ships a bit here, and I don't know if you watched the game or saw the highlights, or you probably saw it on House Highlights or Bleacher Report, but this league is getting softer and softer every minute. With, you know, I don't think personally Cunningham should have got ejected yesterday from that the point, but I just wanted to see you grab your thoughts on that one.
Yeah, I did see the highlights, and I saw it and I was confused. I was like, this is nothing. Like, he didn't, like, and it was quick too. You know what I mean? It wasn't long enough to cause like a huge reaction or anything. And we've kind of seen similar things, like, you know, when you get dunked on and you look at him for like a little longer, and like it's nothing. It's nothing more than that. I thought it was very, very, very soft. It was extremely, like, if I'm a fan and I see that and a guy gets a tech for that, I'm just kind of like, can NBA players not taunt at all? I mean, it's a part of the game, right? I know you want to make the game cleaner. You don't want to cause fights and stuff like that. But for something as small as that reaction, I think it was poor by the referees.
I was looking at it, I'm like, what is this? What is this league right now? You know, like, I get, as you said, like, they want to make the game cleaner and safer and, you know, more, you know, responsibility and stuff like that. But at the same time, you're reffing professional athletes who get paid millions of dollars to compete for 48 minutes to 60 minutes every night. Of course, the emotions are going to come out. You know, it's going to happen. The refs have to realize that. I get he's a rookie. He's young. You're going to make mistakes, but pointing at someone for less than 2 seconds after a dunk, really? Like, a tech, yeah, maybe, but they get ejected from that. It was mind-blowing to see that in the NBA, like, you can't do anything. I think now in any sport, you can't do any taunting or anything. They shut down everything, even in football.
Yeah.
It's the point where it's getting ridiculous, and, you know, you can't – it's like trying to contain a house of boys at, like, the age of 4. Like, you can't. You know, they're gonna be wild. They're going to be reckless. They're going to show emotion. It's part of the competitive game, and they have to be more lenient. I think the league's really going to lock down this year on what's going to be called, what's not going to be called, because it's getting ridiculous. Even the announcers were stunned by the decision. And these refs get paid a lot of money too, but they're calling some bogus calls this season. It's getting kind of ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it was a second tech, and then that's why he got ejected. But I was like, was it really worth a tech in the first place? That was the main thing for me. And I just, it doesn't set a good standard moving forward. I think because NBA players don't know what they're going to, you know what I mean? They don't really know what they can get away with. And I feel like until it gets really, until players just start doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it. And then, you know, there allows for more leeway. I think until then, it's just going to be, they're just going to call it every time. And unfortunately, players are going to get fined. They're going to get thrown out. And I want to see in the playoffs how this plays out, because obviously, you know, when it's playoff basketball, everything's intensified. So if Draymond's going crazy, you know, how many texts is he going to get, right? We've already seen in his career how it's cost him. But, you know, or if Curry starts taunting, you know what I mean? How is it going to get out of hand? Is it going to be controlled? So I want to see how it looks during the playoffs.
Yeah, they definitely gotta really pay attention to playoffs, because that's where the most competitive, like the real competitiveness comes out, especially in the finals or game sevens. They have to be able to allow for some more leeway in emotions that are being expressed, because you can't, especially in that type of atmosphere and that type of game and the standards that are up at stakes there. The refs gotta understand that. But yeah, it was just, you know, it was a weird kind of night, couple days in the NBA with injuries and techs. I think a spot that in the NBA that people got to start realizing is, you know, a lot of people wrote off the Suns as a kind of a fluke last year.
Mm-hmm.
Finals. But they've proven this year that it was no fluke. They're sitting right now, I think sitting second right now behind Golden State, or they may even be first in the West.
I think they're first, yeah. They're
first. And one of the best teams in the NBA right now, playing well. I don't think the spotlight is there enough. See, a lot of spotlights shown towards the Lakers and Golden State and Brooklyn. And you got the Suns just sitting in there. Slowly and silently proving that this team is ready to go back to finals. And they got the pieces. They got the coach. They got Chris Paul. They got Booker. They got Ayton, who's playing well. They got good rookies. They got good young core, and they got good depth. I honestly feel like the Suns could do some damage, you know. And I think they're one of the few teams that can stop Golden State, I think, in the playoffs, if it comes down to it.
Yeah, there's definitely been enough games to see how good they are. They're still as good as they were last year, if not maybe even a little better. They did improve their bench, you know, adding JaVale McGee. Biombo's been putting in some work for them, even though I don't think it'll last, but yeah.
He played well a couple games.
He did. He has. Chris Paul's using him. He's utilizing him well. I haven't seen too many games, just because I don't think their games are broadcasted as much, but they're a good team. They're a good team to watch. They play the right way. And the thing is, you have to keep up with them. That's the best thing going for them. The only thing is, I feel like they're kind of one injury in their rotation away from not being as good. You know what I mean? I know they're already out with Cam Johnson. But I feel like if a Jay Crowder goes out, they're just not going to be as strong. Whereas Golden State have the opportunity with, like, if a Gary Payton goes out, they're still be okay. If Otto Porter goes out, they're still be okay. You know what I mean? So that's the benefit Golden State have with their depth. And it could be the thing that pushes them over the line come playoff time.
Yeah, that's so important in this day and age in basketball. We saw it with Toronto with the championship run. They had depth, and staying healthy is important. I think that's going to be at the end of the day, I think it's definitely going to be one of the teams in the West coming up with the championship. I don't think the East has enough there to stop. And I think The only thing that's going to stop the West is injuries and staying healthy. That's the biggest thing right now. Especially, you know, in Golden State, they have to keep Klay healthy. They got to keep Curry healthy. Draymond right now is dealing with some back issues that are causing his cast to be tight. But besides Phoenix, I don't see anyone doing any damage. Maybe if the Lakers start picking it up, but I gotta stop being optimistic with the Lakers right now. Because, you know, I gotta get kind of got called out in the group chat, you know. But you know, we said this before. Utah ain't gonna do anything. They're a regular season team. They're not a playoff team. Maybe the Grizzlies. You know, they did last year. I mean, in the play-in, I mean, they didn't have Klay Thompson. But you know, the Grizzlies look well. You know, even though they lost, they had 11-game win streak. But I think the Grizzlies, the Suns, or I think that's the only team that I think maybe Denver, if they get Jamal Murray back, I think those are the only three teams I think that could stop Golden State. Unless somehow I'm praying the chemistry down in crypto.com arena fixes itself.
Yeah, I think you're right. Denver, with Jamal Murray coming back, that, you know, if they had Michael Porter Jr. as well, but I think he's out for the rest of the season, and Jamal Murray come back, they'd be strong, very strong. But with just Jamal Murray, we'll see. I just, the depth is really, come playoff time, it's really important. And the Lakers, I just don't see how they're going to switch it. You know, the switch won't work in the playoffs. They're too old. They're just too old.
Yep.
And I'm like, if you guys can't play defense now, even with AD out, AD can only do so much. So, and LeBron can't keep carrying this load, right? So, unfortunately, I don't think it's the Lakers' time. But that's okay. That's okay. Next season, they're probably going to retool the roster again. LeBron will get rid of half the team. It wouldn't surprise me if they traded away Westbrook, which is really sad. But, hey, I mean, the fit just doesn't work there. It doesn't work there.
No. I said this before. As soon as LeBron came in, he signed that 4-year contract with LA. I was ecstatic. I'm so happy. I was like, okay, we got LeBron. You know, those teams that we drafted Lonzo. We had a young Ingram. We had Randall. We had, you know, a lot of good players. Not no, actually, hold on. I think Randall's gone.
You had Ingram.
We had Ingram, LeBlonzo. We had such young core. We had Josh Hart. We had, you know, our team was looking promising with the future. And as soon as LeBron came in, he didn't like the system. He didn't like the players. And as soon as we got that AD trade and I saw the additions that were thrown in, we threw our future away for a guy who came to stay healthy.
Yep.
We have no good picks anymore. We have no good young core. We lost Caruso in free agency. We traded Pope, Harrell, Kuzma for a stat padding point guard. I get LeBron wants to win now, like his career's almost over. But you know, if he eventually wants to become a coach, he's got to understand that to make a great franchise, it starts in the bottom. It starts with the young core. It starts with rebuilding. You can't just walk in and expect to win. You got to start somewhere. You got to have a foundation. And as soon as he came in, we traded all that for Anthony Davis, and we traded even more young people for Westbrook, the future was gone. Future was gone right there. And now, you know, back then I was okay. Yeah, I'm happy. You know, we're winning now. I could be happy now. But now that we're in this future stage, it's flashbacks to 2013 season, 2014 Lakers, where it was pitiful lottery pick time. Now back, that's where I'm starting to go back into the lottery picks and having 20 win seasons again. It's gonna happen because our core, our future is gone, our core is gone, our picks are gone. For players who can't stay healthy, players who can't make a shot to save their life.
The saving grace, again, I feel like for the Lakers is one, Anthony Davis, but because his health is has been a problem, that might be an issue. And two, they are the Lakers. Now, the Lakers have been bad. They were bad for a while. They pretty much sucked before LeBron came, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Right. So with the Westbrook, because I feel like they're going to trade Westbrook away next season. I strongly feel that's going to happen. The attraction of LA can attract players to come there. But I think a lot of people may look at the situation and be like, if we don't win a championship that year, I'm just going to get traded. You know what I mean? Or I'm going to be let go. And I don't know if a lot of players will sign on to that. But players may want to play with Anthony Davis, right? They may want to say, okay, post-LeBron era, I'll be part of the team with Anthony Davis to, you know, win a championship. But the big thing is AD. AD needs to have the mindset and the mentality, I think, similar to Giannis, because AD has proven that he can't win when he's the best player on the team. Giannis has obviously had a lot of help, you know, Chris Middleton, Drew Holiday, et cetera, but the Lakers can provide that same thing for AD, but AD still has to be number one. And I just don't know if he can do it anymore. I don't know. Consistently, I don't know if he can do it.
You know, if players want to play with Anthony Davis, they should just go to the retirement home, because that's where he's going to be in a couple of years. It's getting so, it's so frustrating to have a star on a team cannot stay healthy. Every game I watch, he's limping or he's moaning at something, he's groaning some pain in his legs or his hand or something. And it's to the point where now I think, and what is he, 28, 29? He's in his prime. That's all I know. Dish him off somewhere for picks. Start the rebuild now. You know, we're not going to do anything this year to play us. I don't think we are. I'll be surprised if we even get past first round. Offseason, we really need a return. I think the biggest thing to do is we dish 80 off somewhere else. We bring in young people. We bring in picks. We start the rebuild now. We still keep LeBron. We'll have the veterancy. We can dish off, you know, depends what we get for AD. We can either keep Westbrook. We let him go. We just start the rebuild now. It's time to start the rebuild now. We have the players who are still have some value in their career to get picks. That's the way to go. In my eyes, I don't know, but you know, the Lakers will be like, you're crazy trading away Anthony Davis. But they're in denial. They're looking at now. I'm looking in the future, you know, in the next 5 years, you know, you guys can be like, oh, yeah, we should have treated Anthony Davis. But I'm going to be like, yeah, well, you should have for picks, for players. You know, we should have kept Lonzo. We should have kept Ingram and Kuzma. You know, that was their next big three coming in here. Thomas Bryant. We should have kept Thomas Bryant. He had a good season. And he's playing well in Washington. Randall came out of nowhere in New Orleans. Now he's playing well, and he's an all-star in New York. D'Angelo Russell, we could have had him as a shooting guard. You know, we could have had depth. We could have kept those players. But we decided to go all in for Anthony Davis and LeBron and Westbrook. And now look at us. We're sitting like in the potential play-in tournament again for the second year in a row. And this is not the Lakers mentality. You know, Kobe was still alive. This is – he would not be impressed. This is not how you handle the situation. LeBron, you got to be a better businessman. It's simple. You got to figure out how to fix his Lakers team quick and effective. And it starts with trading Anthony Davis for the next 5 years future. Build the future now. Let go of the players. We can celebrate the Mickey Mouse chip, whatever you want to call it. Start the rebuild now. Simple. One word. Just rebuild.
AD is turning 29 this year.
Let him go.
I can see where you're coming from. It's really once the season ends, I think obviously we'll have a discussion about it and see where they should go. But right now it's not looking great. But it may look completely different in the next, you know, four to 5 months. So I'll leave my Lakers slander for now and reserve it for later. Once the playoffs start.
Yeah, that's if we make the playoffs. That's even if we're gonna get bounced out in the play-in tournament.
Oh, that's true, actually. that is true.
And then that's where the whole frustration is gonna come out. I'm gonna go after everyone.
I think for one game, you're lucky that you have LeBron James, because for one game, you know LeBron could win you a game just by himself. So it's just a series, because if they finish eight, let's say they get the eighth seed, right? If they get the eighth or seventh seed, they're getting knocked out in the first round, because yes, I don't see them beating Golden State or the Suns, especially not Golden State, because I don't think Curry will let LeBron beat him. Like, again, you know what I mean? I don't think Curry will have it.
It's not going to happen. I don't even think if we even get the 60 and we go against Memphis, as to say, I don't think we can beat Memphis anyways either.
That's true. That's true.
Or if we get the 4 seed, I don't think we'd beat Denver.
Yeah. The matchups aren't really favorable.
No. Like, oh, my goodness. It's scratch my head. You know, as you said, we'll leave it for if that's if you make the playoffs. You know, we'll leave the Laker Nation right now is in shambles. You know, I think it's, you know, maybe it's the Staples Center curse. Maybe we took down that sign in crypto.com arena now. It's different. I don't think we can play in that arena. You know, it's no longer Staples Center. You know, before I lose my head, we're going to jump over to the pitch. And another crazy week for the Premier League. I think City clinched their title again, with 13 points out of Chelsea and Liverpool. I think the race is done. I think now it's just who's going to fight for that fifth to second spot. Because City looks too strong. You know, it was a 1-0 defeat against Chelsea. De Bruyne had a beautiful goal. I think the season's over in Premier League. I don't know what you think, but I think it's over. I think City's clinched the title.
Yeah, it's over still. City have done it again. This season, it's... I feel like the season has been exciting. It definitely wasn't the beginning, you know, with City, Chelsea, Liverpool, all starting out very well. And then there was bound to be a point like this where one team was going to prove they're the best team in the league. And unfortunately, it just had to be City. So I'm kind of disappointed it came so early. Like, we're only in January. And we already know basically that it's already locked up, but the other games will be interesting. Fighting for second, third, fourth, fifth, those games will be exciting. Cause you know, there's the storylines of, okay, are Man United going to make the top four? Because the way they're playing, I don't think so. Then there's Arsenal. Is Arsenal going to stay in the top four?
Top two, baby. Let's go.
You know, it's up in the air. Is West Ham gonna clutch it? Because I do think Liverpool, Chelsea will fight it out for that second, and then obviously the other will get the third, and then you know there's Spurs as well. Right. So that's four teams potentially, I'd say, fighting for fourth spot, which is good. I think it'll keep things exciting. Every game's kind of important. I know the Premier League scheduling has been, it's been a bit mosh up, you know, right now with COVID, with injuries, with people, you know, the AFCONs are going on right now, African Cup of Nations. So players are missing, key players are missing for a lot of the top teams. So it's a hectic time for teams, but City seem to be fine. They're chilling up there. So.
Yeah, they're clear. Look at the standings right now. They're 11 points ahead of Liverpool. There's a game on today, Brighton Chelsea. I'm hoping, I mean, for the sake of it, if Brighton wins, they'll push them to eighth. They'll be at 31 points. For us, I think, as an Arsenal fan, I think we need Brighton to come out here with a clutch win here. You know, I mean, anything can happen in the next couple of weeks. You know, City can go on a shamble, but I don't see it happening. I mean, we still have still 3 months ahead of, you know. But, I do feel like that top five is still in contention for any team. I know right now we're holding out of that fifth spot. We're 2 points behind of West Ham for fourth, and we're 2 points out of Tottenham. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's I think City's gonna, you know, go back to back. I think Liverpool is gonna edge out Chelsea for second. I think Chelsea's gonna get third, and I have Arsenal sneaking in the top four. I think we're gonna get Champions League this year. And I think United's going to finish the fifth, and then I think West Ham's going to fall to sixth. I think that's, for me, I think that's going to rally up my top six right there. I think we're going to qualify for Champions League. Manchester United's going to go to Europa League. But who knows? Whoever wins the FA Cup goes to Europa League as well, but you know, right now, I mean, I'm probably going to watch the game, Chelsea-Brighton, because to have a chance at the top two, we need Chelsea to lose tonight or today. And then hopefully in Thursday, we can come up with a big upset over Liverpool in the League Cup. And that was postponed last week, you know. If we win, we do go against Chelsea. But it's gonna be an exciting week for Premier League, and I'm hoping we somehow sneak past Liverpool in the cup. Because I think this team, I think we need some sort of hardware at the end of the season. You know, it was a weird year not seeing Arsenal participate in Europa League or Champions League. But I think we need to walk away some hardware and get ready for the Champions League next year.
Yeah. I was going to ask you about that. If you felt that winning the, the Carabao Cup would be helpful for this team. I think for, especially since the team is so young, it would be ideal to win some silverware this season. You know, obviously it's better to win some than none. But I think for the state of the club right now, winning that and like a top four is the best thing Arsenal could do. The securing Champions League, I think will kind of, it'll definitely bring the much needed attention back to the club. It's clear that we need to sign world-class players, need to bring more of them to the club. But if we don't get Champions League, it's not going to happen. And we can't be relying on our youth, you know, forever, right? There's a point where you have to bring in the players to accommodate the youth that we have at the club right now. So beating Liverpool is going to be tough. It's going to be really tough. We played a great first leg. I have to ask you about Xhaka. We'll save that, you know, after I'm done speaking. But I think it's clear to see that the team is, like we said last week, 100% moving in the right direction. But winning this cup will show what we're really made of. But switching to Xhaka, I want to know what you think. I think he has to go immediately. Yes. I've said this. I said this last week. You guys can go back. Arsenal will not prosper with Xhaka in the starting lineup. I said it. I've said it for years to my family, to my friends. Like, he needs to go. He is the problem. He needs to go. We will never reach our full potential with that guy in the team. Like, he can't even be on the bench. He just needs to leave. He needs to leave. Yeah. He needs to leave.
Yeah, I'm honestly surprised we held Liverpool to 0-0 with going down 10 minutes in the first half. But yes, I think the only reason why we kept Xhaka this year is because he had a really good Euro for Switzerland.
Yeah, literally.
Like that saved his career at Arsenal. But he's going back to his ways of red cards and horrible challenges, and positioning's very, very poor. In the fact that, you know, Arsenal's giving him the captaincy around his arm is disgraceful, I feel like. Captains shouldn't get red cards. Captains shouldn't be sitting out matches because of stupid challenges. But yes, we need 100%. He needs to go. The comment section, as I was looking at the thing, they all agree he needs to go. And kind of going back to the whole Arsenal thing right now, I think the only way we're going to get to having a, you know, this year to bring in big stars, we need to A, finish top four, and we need to A, bring home silverware. That will attract players to come to Arsenal. No player wants to come, just playing the Premier League. You know, if we had that extra factor, hey, look, you come to Arsenal, you're not only going to be playing the Premier League, you're also going to be competing at the Champions League level with us as well. That's going to add another benefit to the contract signing this year. The linkage with players has been all over the place. We've had links with a lot of players, but I've seen no results right now. I need that. Look forward to that Arsenal signing post and getting to know the new Arsenal player. But definitely the bring in stars need to walk away with the top four finish and the silverware to bring in. And then this will allow us to compete at the higher level and compete with those big clubs around the world. So we have to walk away with the top four to bring in stars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have to. I'm hoping it's a point of emphasis. Obviously, you know, with where we are in the league right now, the club and the manager and the players understand, you know, we're in a unique position. So I'm hoping they will take advantage. I wanted to ask you, as we're in January right now, you know, our team's kind of down to bare bones. Are there any players you're looking for us to bring in right now to help the team out?
You know, as I said, I think we need to really fix that kind of CDM position. I mean, Partey's good, but he ain't. I don't think he's living up to his expectations right now. So we definitely got let go of Xhaka. You see, I think bringing in someone young with experience, like maybe like a Valverde from Madrid, would be well. You know, they have Casemiro, so, you know, they don't really need him. But bringing in a Valverde, you know, if we're really looking at strikers, maybe like Haller from Ajax. He's having a really good Champions League right now. But I don't think we really need to focus on strikers right now because Martinelli's filled that position. And then maybe kind of just fix center backs, you know, just more consistent. I wanted I don't know pronounce his name. It's like Upamecano. I think he from Leipzig, but he went to Liverpool, Bayern. Definitely, I wanted him. We were linked with him. I wanted him to come in because I think we just need that one like consistent center back. Our fullbacks are good. Don't have to worry about that. But yeah, I think you know Vlasovic. I mean, yeah, you'd be a good addition, but I think we need to focus more on midfield and defense. So definitely bring it in. I think Valverde would be a good aspect. He's young. He's got experience, he plays hard, and he fits that CDM position well. So I don't know if it's going to be realistic, but I think if I was Arteta, that's got to be looking at would be Valverde from Madrid.
Yeah, that's a good shout. I see that we've been linked with Arthur from Juventus.
Yeah, I think alone, right?
Yeah, for the loan. They want a replacement before they, you know, let us have him. There's also been Vlahovic, like you said. I think that can wait till end of the season just because I think we need to buy two midfielders, to be honest, because all we have right now is Lokonga and Elneny because Xhaka is obviously out for two games and Partey's at AFCON, so we don't really have any options there. So we'd have to get two. Arthur and Valverde would do the trick. And then I think we need a backup right back because Tomiyasu's out. Cedric is poor, terrible.
Yep.
Callum Chambers, he can fill in, but like how long can you really play there? You know what I mean?
But the guy is, I don't know how he's like 26, 25. I feel like he's been there forever.
He has. He's been injured for so long. That's why. He's been injured. He's always, because I remember last season, right? Where he had a good run of games for us. And then he got injured again. So it's been hard with Callum.
Yeah.
So we'll see what he does with that. I think we're nearing the end of the episode. How much time we got here?
Yeah, we got about 12 minutes left.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that's all we pretty much covered today's.
Yeah.
I would like to, for viewers or listeners, whoever's, we do have now expanded our podcast to different platforms. Spotify is now fixed, thankfully. Anchor will no longer be hosting us, so you can find us. It will push out episodes to Apple, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Radio Public. We're gonna have a lot more platforms that we're gonna be on. So if you can't find one platform, it's definitely gonna be in one of the next. So I think that's just announced. I wanted to make sure that for viewers or listeners, that our podcast will be, what's the word? Distributed. It will be, distributed among other
media platforms.
So, you know, totally
there's no excuses. There's no excuses.
No.
Okay.
No, there's no excuses now. You know, we'll be posting, but I told you at the beginning of episode 1, we're taking off. Mm-hmm. This is the biggest sports show in Laurier Brantford history. I'll make this clear. History. You know, this is where you want to keep up with NBA and soccer. This is it. This is where you go to.
Mm-hmm.
This is no joke here. But yes, I think that's the only announcement I wanted to make at the end of the show. Usually we don't have announcements like this. Usually we cover this at the beginning of the show, but I think it's important to let it know at the end that we're Mr. Worldwide, you know, calls Pitbull or something, you know. We're going international, so definitely check us out on other platforms. Spotify is now fixed. I know we had a couple of not complaints, but a couple of people asking us where it was in Spotify. But we figured it out. It's up there now. It's going to hopefully upload daily now. Not daily, but every time we upload, it's going to push out into there. So, yes, no excuses, as Michael said. No excuses now not to listen.
Yes, sir. Look out for us every week. Should be every Tuesday that we go live. And to close it off, I do have one question. Our ending question for this week will be, so I'm going to do two in one, right? So we're going to do NBA and soccer.
All right.
So for NBA, who is one team that you feel will make a strong playoff push?
You want to be honest? You want me to cap here? Because I can cap and say Lakers, but it's not going to happen. a one strong playoff push in NBA. I feel like from the West, it's going to be Memphis.
Yep.
And from the East, I think it's going to be Chicago.
Mm. Mm.
I know they don't have much playoff experience. But they have Billy Donovan, who's coached well for OKC. They have DeRozan, who's been – he's not really played – he's shown in Toronto he's not really a playoff player, but maybe this one will fix around. Mm-hmm. I think LaVine can handle the pressure, and Lonzo's just it's point guard, you know, it's pass the ball, what he usually does. I feel like this team has a lot of good depth, and I think they'll make it – decently far in the playoffs. So that's mine. What are yours for the East and West? Or
East, I want to say, I'm only going to say Miami if Bam comes back this season.
Okay, good show. Yeah.
If not, then Chicago, I agree. And for the West, I have to say Memphis just because of how well they play every single night. Yeah. And because they truly have nothing to lose, I feel like in the playoffs, it's just going to be the exact same mentality. Like, we have nothing to lose. So, and honestly, the format might be better for Memphis, because the way I feel like if they can actually game plan for your team, because they play defense so well, they create so many fast break opportunities, they'll be able to blow out a lot of teams. Like, a lot of games, they may blow you out. The downside to that, though, obviously, you know, in the playoffs, you know, the game slows down, right? And not that they're a bad, you know, half court team, but they do thrive in transition. So we'll have to see how, you know, that goes. But we have to say Memphis for that.
Yeah.
And then the next question for footy is, so I'm hearing that Mbappe will actually re-sign with PSG, right?
Okay.
If that happens, do you think Haaland goes to Real Madrid?
I feel like Haaland was going to go to Madrid either way.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they were linked with Mbappe for quite a while. But yeah, I think Haaland was going to go to Madrid either way. Personally, I'd rather want a Haaland than Mbappe on my team. I want the workhorse. I want that. You know, he's an aerial threat as well. He's tall. He's quick. He's physical. He's easily one of the best strikers in the world right now. So yes, I think Mbappe stays or leaves. I think Haaland's going to Madrid either way. I don't think he's going to go to the Premier League yet. I think he'll wait off a couple bit and then jump over to the Premier League. But I think he's going to Madrid. And then because that team, they get Haaland's over. The league is done for.
Yeah.
And I think so is the Champions League, to be honest.
Yep. Definitely.
Because he's proven that he can handle himself in the Champions League. He's led the Champions League before in goals. He'll probably do it again plenty more times in his career. So definitely Madrid gets Haaland this summer.
Yeah. If they get him, I think it's a wrap. Yeah, you're right.
100%.
Because, I guess he'll phase out, you know, the Benzema era. Benzema will probably start a lot less games, but, you know, he'll have that veteran leadership. And then they'll go they'll go Haaland up top, Vinicius on the left, and then who on the right? Rodrigo, Asensio?
Probably, yeah. Rodrigo, probably.
Yeah, and then that's your starting three for the next 6 years. So
yeah.
Before Haaland decides to.
Then all they gotta do is figure out the midfield because you know they gotta replace Modric and Kroos and. Which do they have? They have Camavinga. So.
They signed Camavinga. Oh, they did sign Camavinga. Yeah.
Yeah. They're already set. The team has a good future in front of them. So, and Valverde's he's only 23. So if he does stay, then
yeah,
you have Camavinga and Valverde, and you have Casemiro's like 30. So you're good. And then they probably have enough money because they already sold the defense. But you know, Courtois is still in his prime, and their defense and this have Alba. This got Alba. So.
Yeah, they're fine.
they're set. I feel like before we end it, you think Davies is gonna leave Bayern in the next couple of years or?
He might not. He might just do what Alaba did. You know what I mean? Just be there for majority of his career then. Knowing him, he'll probably go back to MLS, right? And then, or it depends on his aspirations, I think. Because it's not like Bayern, or he can always, you know, compete for the Champions League. He'll probably always start when he's fit. So it's not like he's not playing. I think it's only if he wants to go, like, okay, I really want to play in the Premier League. So I want to go to the Prem. That's the only thing I think he'll do. I don't think he'll do the move where he goes to Barca or Real Madrid. I think he's only going to go Prem or he'll stay. How about you?
Yeah. Maybe if Haaland goes to Madrid, you might follow. Because, you know, Marcelo's old and they need a new left back.
That's true.
But obviously, as a Premier League fan, I'd love to see him in Premier League and like in an Arsenal jersey, but if he does come to the Prem, I think he's probably going to go with Liverpool or a City, but I'd love to see him in the prime just because, you know, I get to watch him more TV. But I feel like he's accomplished what he needs to accomplish in Bayern already in his young career. He's won the Champions League. He's won the league. He's won the Nations Cup. Like, Bayern pretty much accomplished all that in his, like, first couple seasons. So I feel like in the next 2 years, I think he'll leave and go for a new challenge. If it's going Prem or going Madrid, I think that those are the options. I don't think he's going to Barca, but I think if he does go to Liga, it's going to Madrid. Or if he doesn't go to Liga and he goes to Prem, he's going to Liverpool or Man City. Well, we'll see. It's a young career of the guy. But I do feel like, I do agree with you, he'll end his career in MLS.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to go back. I think he either goes back to Vancouver or he comes to Toronto.
Ooh. He'd probably go back to Vancouver. He seems like a loyal guy. But if he wants to increase his brand and all that, he should go to Toronto.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. All right. 12:31. It was a good episode, a good hour.
Yes, sir.
We'll see you next Tuesday on multiple platforms now. And we're going to emphasize that we're on multiple platforms, not just one or two. Multiple platforms. I've been your co-host, Jackson.
I've been your other co-host, Michael. And we will see you next week.
Take care.
Take care.